Blog Talk Radio.
Denise Griffiths is your partner in success. Tune in each Friday as virtual assistants, industry expert, web developer, and online entrepreneur Denise Griffiths interviews industry experts from one end of the internet to the other. These expert entrepreneurs freely share their business building knowledge and provide practical guidance that will show you how to build and grow your own very successful business, be it online or traditional brick and mortar. Now, ladies and gentlemen, your partner in success, Denise Griffiths.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the show. Today we are going to visit with Milana Leshinsky. Every business starts with an idea and a dream, but somewhere that dream can turn into a job that we never meant to create, and those of us who are entrepreneurs know exactly how that happens. We wear too many hats, we try to do it all, and it can become a drudgery. Milana Leshinsky helps entrepreneurs and professionals who are tired of trading time for money to create a highly profitable, multiple income stream business so they can enjoy complete personal freedom that they truly desire. It's the reason they went into business anyway. In 2000, Milana discovered the world of internet marketing. In an attempt to become a work-at-home mom, she quit her job and launched an internet-based business. After writing and successfully selling three digitally published books, she was introduced to coaching. This may be a long interview. From there, things moved very quickly, and in 2002, she founded the Association of Coaching and Consulting Professionals on the Web, ACCPOW for short, which is a place for coaches to learn and acquire the tools for building a global business. She also launched Global Coaching Telesummit, which she pioneered in 2005 and transformed then into Coaching Super Summit, which is a live event for coaches and coaching entrepreneurs worldwide. Milana also has a new book in the works, and we will be talking about her book titled Dough for What You Know. I love the title. So good morning, Milana, and welcome to the show. Thank you so much. I'm excited to have you here. I am very familiar with your work, and I would love for you to tell our audience a little bit about yourself before I pepper you with all the dozens of questions that I have for you.
Well, good morning. It's a pleasure to be here, Denise. Thank you for inviting me to the show.
Oh, you're very welcome.
I think you introduced me pretty well already, but if there's one thing that maybe kind of slipped the introduction is the fact that I knew nothing about business when I started. And my background is actually, I am a classical musician from a former Soviet Union, and businesses just didn't exist at that time in the Ukraine, which is where originally I'm from. And so everything that I've done in my business and grew my business pretty rapidly is because of several things that I did right. I made a lot of mistakes, just like any aspiring business owner. But there were certain foundational things that I did right that I teach my clients today, that you can do everything else wrong and still grow your business and still succeed. And hopefully that will come. They'll be part of our conversation today, so I'm excited to share what I learned over the 9 years of being in business with your listeners.
It's so important. I'm glad you said that, because so many people now, I mean, this has always been the case, but now more than ever, with the economy being what it is, a lot of people are leaving their place of employment, whether voluntarily or not. And what I'm seeing in my industries is that people are saying, you know, I don't want to work for somebody else anymore. You know, it was great. I made a good paycheck, but I'd like to be an entrepreneur. I'd like to work to my own passion. And the thing that you said that caught me was that you knew nothing. And that's so important, because that's where a lot of us start.
Yes, and what's interesting is that most people walk through their life without realizing their true blessing, their true gift, their true million-dollar value, as some people call it. And if you are fortunate enough to discover, to uncover your million-dollar value, you can be where I am today, where hundreds or maybe thousands of entrepreneurs today by simply discovering what it is that lights them up and what other people appreciate the most about them. You know, it's your gift, and if you don't know what your true gift is to contribute to other people, then you're kind of walking through life without being very productive, very successful, and you are not as able to build a lifestyle that you really could build. So I think it really comes from, what is your gift? Do you know where your best value is? And I think that once you discover that, everything else kind of falls into places.
Do you find, and I know you're a phenomenal coach, do you find that you have to kind of coach people out of fear? Because I find that so many people say, oh, I want to do something different, but they're so fearful and they almost don't know how to get past that.
Well, fear is a really tough place to coach around, because something has to push you over the edge to make you committed. You can have that fear and you can be concerned and hesitant and procrastinate about taking that action to change something in your life or your career or your relationships or your business. But until something really pushes you over the edge, you are not as keen to take action. For example, for me, it was seeing my one-year-old being outside in a daycare center in the 80-degree weather with sun beaming right down on her little head, and the teachers were cooling off in the shade at the same time. And I looked at that, and that pushed me over the edge. And a week later, not even a week later, I gave my two-week notice because I wanted to stay home with her. I was tired of having strangers take care of not take care of my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was my tipping point that made me make that decision. For other people, it may be, you know, wanting to finally have that dinner, family dinner with their loved ones after months of not being able to see them in the evening, or working 80 hours a week. So it might be something for you right now that desire become stronger than your fear. I had fear. I mean, I was making $33,000 a year. It was a perfectly nice job. I was probably considered by my family, I was considered crazy for quitting that job. So, but my tipping point, that experience that I saw my daughter burning hot with red cheeks and just her tongue sticking out, poor little baby.
Oh.
And I just, to me, that became stronger than any fear of not being able to make money or, you know, support my family.
Right. So, well, that leads me to my next question. So how can new and budding entrepreneurs, you know, people who have maybe gotten their toes a little bit wet but haven't jumped completely off the diving board, how do they recognize their potential to be a millionaire, even if they've made minimum wage or, you know, no more than $10 an hour before? My belief is, everybody can do it if they want to and if they educate themselves and if they really, really love what they do. A lot of people don't quite think like that. So how can they get to that point where they can recognize their potential?
Right. Well, everybody has experiences in life that taught them something. Everybody has life lessons, and everyone has something to share with the rest of the world that people would love to pay for. Now, I understand if you've never sold a single piece of information that you have personally put together. But it is so simple to get into something like this. I mean, I started out with $100 in my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And by simply writing about what I knew at the time, and my profession was a web designer, so I just put together a quick ebook, an electronic book, about how to create your first website. I literally put all my knowledge that I had at the time on paper, and I sold it and made my first my first sale 3 months after I came up with the idea for that ebook. So there's something that you know that someone else wants. For example, right now I'm in the process of helping my son get into college. He's only 15, but I'm starting to look now because I've been told that you got to start early. So imagine that, how much it would be worth to me to buy a guide to, you know, an easy to use guide to getting my son into a good college. It would be worth a lot of money to me. It would simplify my process.
Mm-hmm.
It would serve me as a shortcut. It would give me the tips and tricks that I'm not aware of right now.
Right.
So think about what is that topic that you have experience in. It doesn't have to be business related or money related. A lot of people have misconception about that, that, well, I'm not good at certain things, like I'm not a marketing expert or a business expert. It doesn't matter. You can be somebody who lost 20 pounds
mm-hmm.
and came up, you know, discovered a system for doing that easily and effortlessly. And anytime you need to lose an extra few pounds, you can do that. Well, how many people in the world would love to know that?
Right.
I mean, it can be
about quilting. It can be anything.
It can be about anything that solves a problem for people. The problems that people experience in their lives, relationship, communicating with their teenagers.
Oh, you can do that? I've always heard that you couldn't. I always heard that's just not possible.
You absolutely can do that, and I bet communication experts and, you know, teen psychologists and educators, all of those people are excellent candidates for sharing information like
mm-hmm.
this one. I mean, I talked to a history teacher who didn't know what she could possibly sell as an information. And imagine how many people who are history buffs would love to receive some kind of a monthly monthly newsletter with fascinating facts about historical figures. I would sign up. You know, I love
it. I would sign up. I would absolutely sign up for that.
It can solve a problem, or it can feed somebody's interest and hobby and somebody's hunger. The first thing I did when I came to America is I signed up for, and I actually paid, even though I had very little money, but I paid to be a subscriber to these monthly movie star cards, where each card would have a picture of the actor, and on the back side it would have the information, you know, what movies they starred in, their biography. I was fascinated by that. I was a collector. So if you can solve a problem, or if you can feed a collector's soul, there's so much potential for you out there, and you just need to decide on your topic and start packaging what you know into some kind of a saleable format.
Right. So basically, if somebody were to kind of spend a day or two and follow themselves around, literally, and write down what their interest is, you know, what kind of pops up into their head or their consciousness more than once, you know, whether you're a movie buff or a history buff, or you're a quilter, or, you know everything in the world there is to know about orchids. If that's something that you're doing pretty regularly, that could be a niche for you, couldn't it?
It could absolutely be a niche. And one thing you could probably do is sit down and write down 10 biggest lessons you learned, over the last 20 years of your life, or 30 years. So, you know, based on where you are right now, there are certain things that you overcame, goals you achieved, and they can be little things. You know, one person had no income opportunity because she was taking care of her loved one, of an elderly parent.
Mm-hmm.
And up until she found a good, high-quality adult care nursing center, she was constantly occupied with her mother. But guess how much information now she has, now that she's done that research.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking exactly what you are.
You know, so
she could come up with so much.
Absolutely. I mean, there's many different opportunities to share that information. She could teach a class. She could write a guide to identifying the best nursing facility for your loved ones. She could speak. I mean, there's so many ways that you can turn that topic into cash.
Exactly. And, you know, that's not something that most people are prepared to deal with, and they don't know where to look for references, or, you know, how do you find out if there's been lawsuits against the place? I mean, you just don't know.
Right.
There's so many things that you really have to look into before you entrust somebody you love.
And I think that
most people
take their knowledge for granted. You know, you go through an experience and you sort of put it aside and say, okay, I've gone through that. That's great. I'm glad it's over. But there's a lesson in that. There's something that I've gone through that can help others.
That's an excellent, excellent point. So taking that knowledge, how can we change our lives and financial future no matter what the economy is? especially as many people that I'm dealing with right now who are coming into internet marketing and social media marketing and building a business online, they've never owned a business before. You know, they've worked all of their lives and they have a lot of knowledge, but they don't know how to do it for themselves. So how can they take, you know, what you're talking about, some really great life lessons or passions, and change their lives and their financial future?
Well, I think that the most important thing to understand is you got to solve a problem for people. You got to find out if your topic, you know, if you identified a topic that you would like to explore, if your topic is something that people will buy. And, you know, in the business world, we call it a niche. It's a topic, it's the group of people that you want to sell it to or that you want to target with your information. So the first thing you want to do is you want to go online and see if anybody else is selling that kind of information. And some people might say, well, somebody is already selling that. Nobody will want my information because there are information products out there exist already on this topic. Well, actually, what I found is that the more information is sold in a particular niche or particular topic, the higher your chances of success of selling similar information with your own twist on it. And the reason is because I call it an existing vegetation. You don't ever want to be the pioneer who is putting those first tracks and struggling through the hedges and you know, just struggling through that first, being the first. Nobody wants to be the first. Unless you have a huge marketing budget, you want to jump on the bandwagon of something that's already proven to work, something that people are already buying. You know, Denise, if you look at your bookshelf, you probably have, you know, 100 business books, very much like I do and any business owner, because we collect business books. That's how we are.
Oh,
we're collectors of business information. Well, if somebody
my entrepreneurial library.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, if somebody is into parenting and they want to become the best parent they possibly can, and maybe they have a child with ADD or ADHD, and so they're studying all these methods and all these techniques for helping their child to become a better adult, you know, more sufficient, more productive person. Well, their bookshelves are probably stocked with books on child development, on ADD. They buy that because they are passionate about it. So just because something is being sold out there already doesn't mean that you can't sell it too. In fact, it's a good sign that you have competition there, because that means people are buying your kind of information.
That's exactly right. You know, people who listen to Tony Robbins probably also listen to Deepak Chopra, Wayne Dyer. You know, there's a whole group of people. Louise Hay, would you just choose one and say, well, there's only just, you know, I've already found one, so I'm done. I mean, that's kind of a silly argument.
Right. You always keep investing into things that are important to you. You know, with the economy, you mentioned that, Denise. One thing I noticed, and I was just really surprised, and it totally makes sense, is that even with the economy last year, people might have stopped doing certain things, or they might have canceled subscriptions to certain things. But those people who have children, they did not cancel their children's karate lessons, music lessons. People will always invest into what's important to them, and kids are important to us. So I found it fascinating. You know, there's something about that people will always invest and they will always spend money when it has to do with the development and growth and enrichment of their children. And
you know, Milana, I'm glad you said that, because, you know, my background is that I'm a web developer. I own a small business, a web development business, and I also own a multi-VA firm, virtual assistants. I have a lot of clients that are in the fitness industry. And a year or so ago, I remember having these conversations with all of them across the board. They were very, very concerned that their fitness businesses were going to just die. And they did take a hit for a very brief time. And I kept saying, you know, I just can't agree with you. I think that it's very important that people are going to get more concerned about fitness and health, you know, their fitness levels. their children's fitness levels. And then when the whole healthcare thing started really kind of taking off, people really got worried. And I'm finding, and my clients are finding, that their businesses are booming because fitness has become critically important for Americans.
Well, and what's important
is so they're not giving up those fitness, you know, they're not giving up that $40, $50, $100 a month bill. They're paying it.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Well, what's important to understand is, depending on what kind of fitness training you do or whatever you sell, whatever your service or product is,
mm-hmm.
is it must solve a problem. In fact, one of the things I teach is a simple universal principle of business success. And what it means is that you want to sell to a group of people who already know they have a problem. They've already decided they need a solution, and they're prepared to pay for that solution. That's really the key. The universal principle of business success, no matter what you sell, no matter what kind of business you're in, you have to work with, you have to sell something to a group of people who already understand that they have a problem and that they're looking for a solution to invest into. And if you have all of those elements in your business, then you will be miles ahead of everyone else who is struggling and trying to sell something that people just don't want to buy.
Mm-hmm. So if I'm hearing correctly, that's why an online information business is the easiest business to start out with?
Well, I think so. And, you know, my experience has shown that, first of all, I would not be in business today if it weren't for the idea of the information business, because information is intangible. You don't need inventory control. You don't need storage. You don't need facilities. You just need a topic and be an expert on that topic, or your desire or your willingness to become an expert on that topic, and just, you know, put on paper or in some tangible format, such as an audio or an MP3 recording of what you know on that topic.
Mm-hmm.
It's the easiest business to start simply because anybody can do it with their own personal computer without leaving their home. In fact, that's how I started it. And it's interesting, my background in the States is also web design. That's how
right.
I began my business, designing websites and slowly moving away from the hands-on service like web design and graphic design to more of a consulting and coaching type of business. And the coolest thing is that it doesn't matter what you do right now. You can be a fitness trainer, you can be an accountant, you can be a nutrition counselor or a physician. It doesn't matter what your craft is as far as the service you provide to people. You can package what you know about your topic and turn that into an information product.
Right.
So,
and these days.
And the beauty of this is that you stop trading time for money, because the only way
exactly.
that you can generate revenue or income is by working with clients directly. In information business, you sell information and you don't have to deliver the service. That's the beauty of it.
Right. And, you know, I don't know when you started. When I first started, it was about 10, 12 years ago. I don't even remember now. We did not have the tools that we have now. I mean, you could slap up a website, but it was an HTML website. You know, they're difficult to work in unless you're the web developer or the webmaster. So we were fairly limited, and now, oh my gosh, I mean, the tools, there's free tools, there's, you know, paid for systems, you've got the shopping carts, you've got Audioboo, you've got WordPress. I mean, it's just, we're limited anymore only by our imagination, I think.
I think so, too, and it's interesting that you said that, because I remember that the reason my product sold is because people didn't know how to make their websites.
Mm-hmm.
So when I came up with my information product, Create Your First Business Website in 10 Days, that was my very first information product, people bought it like hotcakes.
Right.
it was,
I can imagine.
Because everybody wanted to know how to create their website. Now you can open a blog. You don't need a web designer. You can just, you know, if you're not familiar with what a blog means, just Google it, B-L-O-G, and set up your own blog, which will serve you as your website. You can edit it anytime. It's a, sort of like an online journal where you can put an entry, add an entry to it every day or every week, however often you want to do that, and just start writing about your topic of
mm-hmm.
expertise, and start attracting people through putting your information out there. So it's really, once you come up with a topic that you know is hot and people are buying this kind of information, then the next step for you is to start building your online presence and branding yourself as the resource, the expert on that topic. So people begin associating you with that niche or that topic.
Right. And, you know, if you really don't know where to start, you can go to Blogger, which is Google, of course, or you can go to WordPress.com. Now, those are hosted, you know, they're not hosted on your own domain, your own server, and you don't own your own name necessarily. But it is a good place to start. It'll get your, you know, get your toes wet, and you can kind of figure out what it is that you really want to talk about, what you're passionate about. And then you can move over to a hosted WordPress or even TypePad. I prefer WordPress, but that's just a personal thing. And you can just move into a more professional look and feel. But, you know, it can take a little bit of time while you kind of hone your message. So do you have any suggestions where people could start if they just don't know anything about WordPress or HTML websites?
Well, I like the idea of a blogger. Although I have to tell you, my very first blog was through blogger.com. But then as I transitioned, the transition was a little bit painful just because I had to take all my content that I've written in Blogger and add it to my new blog. So
right.
If you are at all, if you are serious about making that transition and adding the new income streams to your life through packaging and selling your information and, you know, positioning yourself as an expert on your topic, I would highly suggest that you go to WordPress.org and just start blogging using that service. And then the transition to your own website will be much easier. And WordPress is just a very popular platform for anybody, for beginner or for more advanced people. I mean, I have all of my blogs and all of my websites are on WordPress.
Mine too.
Because it's very easy to maintain. A lot of people, a lot of virtual assistants and web design experts can support WordPress. They're very familiar with that. And, you know, there's nothing more frustrating than having somebody design your website on a platform that nobody else knows. So you want to have something easy, something popular that anybody can jump in and help you maintain it, update it. And again, with WordPress, you don't even need to worry about updates because it's all done through a very easy interface or control panel, whatever you want to call it. Just like in Word, you're writing and you're editing things very much similar to what WordPress can do for you.
Right. Yeah, well, I get this question a lot, and I'm sure you do too. What is the difference between WordPress.com and WordPress.org? .com, you can just log in and start blogging. However, you do not own it, and they can shut you down at any time. You also can't put affiliate links or many external links. There are no real plugins for it. If you want to create your own website, however, on WordPress.org or using WordPress.org, you will need a domain name, so you'll need to go to GoDaddy or someplace like that. Get your domain name. It's about $10. You will need a hosting package. I don't recommend GoDaddy for hosting just because their servers are just so very crowded. I recommend Bluehost or HostGator. Then you're good to go. So those are the differences between the .com and the .org, just so people know.
Right.
So,
well,
Milana, go ahead, I'm sorry.
What I was going to say is that many times people are listening to this kind of information. They become overwhelmed or intimidated by the technology and all the things that they need to understand. The reason that a lot of people are not selling information or their expertise online is because they're getting stopped by the technology. So one thing I recommend is you hire somebody very much like you and your company, Denise. Virtual assistants have allowed me to run a $500,000 business from home without having any staff, you know, on site. I'm running my business on 5 hours a day. I can be with my children, with my family. I don't miss any events when it comes to my children. We take lots of vacations throughout the year, and I'm able to create this amazing level of income that I would just not be able to do if it weren't for me hiring virtual assistants. So I'm a big proponent of outsourcing or delegating the work that you feel stops you, because you really don't want to become an expert in web design or web hosting, because you just said a bunch of things that people are listening and may not even know what you said. I have a lot of clients who've never even heard of the word web hosting, or they don't know what GoDaddy is. So I don't want that to be a reason for people not to sell their information. In fact, all you need to do is hire a virtual assistant and tell them that I would like to sell my information, and they will show you how you can set it up, and they will even do it for you. There's no other reason for you not to do this. And it, virtual assistants are actually one of the top three investments that I recommend. The other two is, you know, investing into a good copywriter who can write a letter that sells your information. If you've never done any kind of a sales letter, or some people call it an enrollment letter or sales copy, you know, hiring somebody to describe your information in a benefit-rich way can make all the difference. In fact, my very first product that I sold, my ebook, was selling about one or two per week. I wrote my own letter. And then a copywriter contacted me and said, I think I can really help you sell more of your ebooks. And so he rewrote my copy, and I went from one to two sales a week to about two to three sales a day without changing anything else, without increasing my promotional activity, just by you know, improving, enhancing the sales letter that talks about the product. And then the other skill is, of course, just being able to communicate your value. And that's more of an investment in you, in yourself. Can you communicate the value of your information? So you have your topic, your expertise, and then you need to be able to communicate why it's valuable for people to work with you, to pay attention, to buy from you. So those are some of the things. But I just wanted to make sure that people don't get cold feet and say, well, that's not for me because I don't know what GoDaddy is.
Right, right. And I'm glad you brought that up, because we all do this. We all assume that everybody knows everything we know. And I do it every day. And then I'm surprised that I have to go back and explain something because it's just so simple to me. So thank you for clarifying that. I would not have thought of that at all. But you know what I wanted to ask you? You mentioned copywriters. I'm finding now that we're building, my web development company is building more and more long sales pages. And I will tell you from the heart, I hate them. I'm a purist. I'm a web developer. And I hate long sales pages, but I have to build them for my clients. And they do convert. They do work. But I'm had to bring on some copywriters to write those things, because that's a skill all in and of itself, is writing for those sales pages.
It is a tremendous skill. In fact, I was fascinated by what happened with my ebook, is that, you know, just by adding a few things in the website, tripled my sales. I couldn't believe it. I always felt like if the product was good, it would sell itself, right? You always feel like that. Well, people have to buy it because it's a good product. But people don't know that it's a good product until you tell them. People don't know how they can use that product until you suggest how they can use it. People don't know why it's important to get that product until you tell them so, and what the benefits and the results and the outcomes they're going to get by using your product. So I actually invested my time into learning a little bit about copywriting. I bought a book by a guy named Dan Kennedy, and he's got a really great book.
I love Dan Kennedy.
Yes, Ultimate Sales Letter. And it's a very simple guide, almost like a templated way of writing your own sales letter. Now, the way I do it now is I write maybe my own rough draft, and then I send it off to my copywriter.
That's exactly what I'm doing.
Yeah, because they're going to come back to you anyway and ask you questions about your product. So you might as well start by writing down all the benefits about your product, and you want to start by writing all the things that will that may stop people from making a buying decision, and then just send it off to a copywriter, and you know, hopefully they will rewrite it in a way that will sell better. But as far as this long sales letter, that's a great conversation to have. In some other, we need a whole hour just to talk about that.
In fact, if you don't mind, I'd love to get you back on to talk about that, because we're seeing more and more of those things. I've actually finally, I'm getting ready to convert a couple of my pages to long sales copy. I've had to beat myself over the head for months to just make myself do it. but they do work.
They do work. And
so
the key
I would love to get you back.
Yeah, the things that I learn about copywriting, and again, I'm not an expert, but I've had a lot of success writing short copy. For example, anytime I send out an email to my database, it results in sales. And that's what copywriting can do for you. You mm-hmm. communicate your message so effectively that people click onto your website and they buy your product or program or workshop or class, however you're selling your information right now. But there are a couple of things. Your copy has to have, number one, a great headline. I see a lot of people have something that maybe is the title of their program, but it's not a headline. Or they have a welcome to my website, but it's not a headline. A headline is really a benefit-rich statement that has a promise and that pulls people into reading further. So that's number one. The second thing you want to know about copywriting is that people really don't read your copy. They scan it. That was a revelation to me. They do not
read. You have to have those bullet points.
You have to have bullet points, but most importantly, you have to have subheadings. And they have to stand out. They cannot be mixed and lost in your copy. You have to, here's how you write copy how you write subheadings. If people only read the subheaders, they will get the gist of the benefits of your product. If they read nothing else but the subheaders, they will understand, why they should buy that product. So those are the two things that are really important. The headline and have really benefit-oriented subheadings so that if people just scan, I'm a scanner, I don't read copy. I may print it out and read it at breakfast or when I'm bored, but normally I just scan, I scroll down to the price, and I make the decision based on those two things.
See, that's exactly how I do it. Yeah, I look at it, I look at the bullet point. Excuse me, I'm a little raspy today. I scroll down, I look at the price and think, okay, I can do that. And then I'll go back. If the price is acceptable to me for what I think I'm going to get out of it, I'll go back and read a little bit more. Otherwise, I'm gone.
Exactly. And if you look at anything that I do, like if you go to my website at milana.com, you'll see that I have some information products that don't even have a sales letter per se. They have a video presentation that is of an educational nature. In fact, if you go to milana.com, you'll see that you can get a copy of my Secrets of Creating a Multiple Income Stream Information Business. And once you request that information, you'll see what I'm talking about. There's a video presentation that is a 36-minute video, and it teaches you about information business and how to package your information and how to package your knowledge or your service or your topic, your craft, your passion, your expertise into information products. And it's not really a sales letter. It's an educational video. And that's another really easy way to sell your programs and products without really selling or writing, for that matter, if writing is not something that you like doing.
Right. And a lot of people don't. They just don't know where to start. They're not comfortable with it. So videos, of course, would be perfect for them, even if it's not even an on-camera video. It can be a Camtasia Studio video or Jing or something like that. And I know some people may not know what we're talking about. You're welcome to call me at 888-719-6711, and I'll be happy to explain what those are. Milana, the six secrets, I know we covered a few, but the six secrets of the most successful information entrepreneurs, what are those? I know there are people out there, and I've been following them for a long time, who went from nothing, living in their mother's basement, literally, to living in California and driving, $100,000 cars. What are their secrets?
Well, there's quite a few of them, and I like to talk about several, so we are limited on time, so let me just mention a couple here that are very important. One I already talked about, and it's kind of a theme of our conversation. Whatever you create must be a solution to a problem. Mm-hmm. That's where really the big money is. People will invest into a solution more likely than simply into a product that you sell just because they want to buy something from you. People might buy something from you that they like because they like you or because they're interested in the topic, but they're more likely to spend the big bucks if it's a solution to a painful problem. So most successful information business owners understand that whatever they create must solve a problem. The other thing is focus. I see a lot of people constantly, you know, we call it shiny object syndrome. They get distracted
yes.
by different things, different ideas, different
yeah.
different marketing strategies. You know, you and I both know, Denise, that there is a gazillion of ways to market your products and services.
Mm-hmm.
I choose to focus on just three, and they work for me beautifully. Now, I know that if I started adding more marketing strategies to my business, I would probably sell more, but I would either have to outsource it so somebody else is doing it for me, or I would have to find ways to automate it. But anytime you market and you, anytime you create information products, you want to focus. And I don't mean to focus on one project at a time. I mean focus on one direction at a time. For example, you can focus on writing a book for the next 6 months, and you can focus yourself to bankruptcy that way. A book is not necessarily a money-making product, but a lot of people for some reason think that, well, I'm going to write a book. I'm going to spend the next 6 months writing the book, and it's going to change my life and make all the difference in the world in my life and in my business.
Mm-hmm.
That rarely happens. While you're writing the book, you need to generate income. So what I recommend is that you focus on creating one multiple income streams tree at a time. So as you're working on your book, you're also creating your program, your class, your tools, all around the same topic. So I hope that makes sense, is that you don't focus on one small product, you focus on one series of products or system of products
mm-hmm.
that would be marketed to the same target market.
Right.
The other thing is persistence. I think that if I were not a persistent person, I would not be in business today. It took me a year from the conception of my business to actually seeing that first sale. And if I gave up and, you know, kind of decided, oh, well, didn't work, I would probably be, you know, either unemployed or working at a job that I would, you know, would hate. So
mm-hmm.
persistence is very important. There is a guy by the name of Michael Gerber who is very well known in the entrepreneurial community. He wrote a book called The E-Myth. And he was on the edge of bankruptcy. And in his interview, he was asked, you know, how come you didn't claim bankruptcy? Or why did you, what is responsible for your success? You were so close to, you know, closing your doors. And he said, I just never gave up. I never
right.
gave up. Those are the words that I think every entrepreneur can confirm that they had to say at some point in their entrepreneurial journeys, that they never gave up. Let's see.
I think it doesn't occur to us that failure is an option.
I think so. Failure is not an option. That's right.
No.
That's something that a lot of coaches will say to you.
Right.
But, you know, what's the alternative? There's very little alternative when you want to build a successful business. If you want to build a financial castle around your life, call it a financial castle, and that's exactly what an information business can do for you. Let's see, maybe a couple of other things that the six secrets of the most successful information entrepreneurs who went from having nothing to getting everything they ever dreamed of is really about who you surround yourself with. Before I quit my job, I couldn't even imagine going self-employed. I didn't have anybody in my family who was self-employed. You know, job security, it was my way of success, just like in the rest of my family. So I had to surround myself with other self-employed people who were successfully running their own businesses before I could go on my own. So the biggest thing here, the big idea here is to surround yourself with people who are already doing what you're doing. So if you want to get into information marketing and build an information business, go to places where information entrepreneurs hang out.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Not only, not only will you get the how-to, you know, the how-tos and the tools and the tactics, but you'll also get into the mindset of the people who you want to be like, who will help you understand. I mean, they say that your income is an average of the five closest people you spend time with, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I was making $33,000 a year, and so was everyone else around me. Now I go
right.
to workshops and events, and I have a mentor, and I have friends who are, on average, generating six figures. So it's a very
right.
different mindset. So there's just a couple of things.
Yeah, there's no question. Well, you know, and one thing I've noticed, too, about following people around like you, or you know, I followed Joel Kalm around for years. I mean, Rosalind Gardner was one of the very first people I noticed on the Internet. And I've watched them and, you know, kind of emulated them to some degree, and you're right. I mean, if you get into that mindset of you're following people around, even if their particular focus is 100% away from yours, it doesn't matter. It's the business that matters. It's the business model. It's how they conduct themselves. And,
well,
and that's really what you need to kind of follow around and, you know, find people that you really like. It can be one person. It can be 20. It can be 30. But study them, study how they do it, and feel free to chat with them, because what I've learned about entrepreneurs, no matter how big they are, most of them are very accessible. And I think people are surprised by that.
Mm, that's a good point.
But they're
point.
Very accessible. You know, they will try to help you. They're generous. They, you know, they've done it for themselves. They want you to be successful. And I find that you can reach out to just most anybody, and they will chat with you, even if it's only on Facebook.
Well, what's
so I guess I'm saying don't be shy. If you have a question about something that I'm doing or Milana's doing or Joel Kalm is doing, or just pick a name, you know, pick an entrepreneur that you really admire what they're doing, reach out to them. I think you'll be surprised.
What I love about the information business is that it can look like anything you can possibly dream
mm-hmm.
of. There are people who tell me, but I don't like to write. And
right.
I say to them, so don't write. Speak. Well, if you say, I don't like to speak either, well,
oh.
then don't speak. Be interviewed, and that's how you would come up with your information products.
Mm-hmm.
But information business is not just about selling information in a written format or in a product format. I do annual retreats for my clients. We get together in a beach house, and people pay me thousands of dollars to learn from me. And it doesn't
mm-hmm.
have to be about business. It can be about relationship. I know a relationship coach who does couples retreat, and she coaches them through improving their relationship and has a blast, you know, takes them on these cruise ships and adventures. In other words, you can make your business look like anything you want. The common factor here is that you get paid for talking about what you are really passionate about, and you
right.
get paid well. So that, and you can grow your business anywhere from an ebook and sell it for $29 like I did to, you know, a $5,000 retreat and
mm-hmm.
get people to spend 3 days with you and learn from you or learn with you and help them achieve their goals in any way you can possibly do. I have a financial advisor who, you know, loves working with clients but wasn't sure how to create income streams that do not require his time, because that's what we do when we work with clients. And he's now working on creating a financial education audio program with an action guide where he basically will teach his principles, his mindsets or mind shifts. Anything that he talks to his clients about will go into this guide in a way of
mm-hmm.
educating people. So you can take your topic that you already talk about to your clients and simply package it into an information product that you can sell over and over and over again. And it can be done so easily. And it will, you know, it can serve you as your financial castle for the rest of your life. And you can keep creating
right.
these little, you know, building blocks to keep your financial castle strong and growing.
I love that. I do want to talk with you about your book, but I very quickly, and I'm skipping around, I have a lot of questions for you. I really do need to get you to come back on the show. I haven't covered most of them, so if you don't mind, I'd like to get you back maybe later in the summer.
Sounds great.
If that's okay with you. But right now, I need to get a little ahead because I do want to chat with you about your book, but what are 5 really easy steps that people can take today to turn their story or their passion or their experiences you were just chatting about into cash? I mean, what are some action steps that they can take?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, the first, we already talked about quite a few of them. So you want to understand or decide, make a decision about what your topic is. And your topic will be within the realm of your strongest talents. What are you most knowledgeable about? What are you most passionate about? What problem can you help people solve? So decide on your topic first. That's number one. The second thing you want to do is you want to start positioning yourself as an expert. And we talked about you starting some kind of a blog or start speaking, maybe teaching classes. Connect with your market online where you can start positioning yourself. And with Facebook and Twitter, LinkedIn, all these social media outlets, you can start your presence with just a Facebook account and begin talking about your expertise. So that's number two, is establish some kind of an online presence, whether it's a blog or through social media. The third step that you want to take is you want to start packaging your information. You want to package your knowledge. If you are somebody who likes to write, you can write an e-book. If you like to teach, it can be a workshop. If you want to, stay home and teach teleseminars or teleclasses, you can do that as well. The bridge lines are free to use, and you can start teaching them literally in the next 7 days or less, depending on how much of an expert you are or whether you need to do more research. For the most part, I know that the information is already in your brain. It's already there. You just need to get it out and document it so you could transfer your knowledge to someone else. And then the other two things, the other two steps is more like a mindset. The first one is a lot of people are choosing topics that are not really, again, not really saleable. They're not really marketable. And so I hear people say, well, I'm just going to choose this for now. And I'm going to switch to something more profitable later. I want to say to you, your goal is to be able to pay your bills. If you're going to stay in business, you need to be able to pay your bills. So choose a topic that is going to be profitable right away. There is no temporary topics. Be as sure as you can be and then take action. Take action and do the things we just talked about. And then finally, start creating, we talked about packaging, but the fifth step is really creating your information product in many different formats, because remember, everybody learns differently. Some people like audio, other people like video. Some people will never buy anything unless it's on paper, like a transcript or a book.
Right.
So you want to develop different types of your information product so that different kinds of learners can invest with you. So these are the 5 things that you really want to start thinking about and start doing to build a successful multiple income streams information business. And, of course, if you go to my website at milana.com, you can get a lot more tips. I have a blog on that website. There's a lot more information and inspiration and tools for helping you get started a lot faster and in a much more profitable way.
Right. And it's milana.com, M-I-L-A-N-A.com, is that right?
Yep, that's right.
Okay. So everybody run over there. You have a newsletter as well, don't you?
I don't have an official newsletter, which is a conversation of its own, but I do publish very useful articles. My blog is one of the highest, the most well-read blogs in this field, in the coaching industry, as well as in information marketing industry. So I guarantee you'll walk away with a lot of nuggets that you can apply right now.
Okay. I will go over there. Do you have an RSS feed that we can subscribe to?
I absolutely do.
All right. Okay.
And some people
I'll
are thinking,
over there and
what is an RSS feed?
I know.
So we're always walking that ground between, you know, how much can we share with people who are new to this?
I know.
There's always that thin line between sharing too much or not sharing enough.
Mm-hmm. Well, the RSS feed, for anybody who needs to know, a lot of us will have what we call a feed burner plug-in on our websites. And that simply means that all you do is you put in your email address and you subscribe to our RSS feed, which stands for Really Simple Syndication. And that means that every time Milana posts a blog or I post a blog, it shows up in your email box. It's a very simple way of getting the information back to you. And, you know, you get timely updates. It's just a very nifty thing. So that's what we're talking about there. So, Milana, let's talk about your book.
Wow. Well, the book
is
coming out.
I love the title.
Yes. Well, you don't know the subtitle yet.
No.
The subtitle is more exciting. Well, the book is called Dough for What You Know, Dough as in Money, Dough for What You Know, How to Turn Your Passion and Experience into a High-Income Information Business from Home. And it's a very long subtitle, but as my media coach said, you are leaving nothing to imagination, and that's really the
right.
One of the best way to name your products and your books and your programs is to leave nothing to imagination. It's for people to quickly understand what your product is about. And so it's currently...
Well, your benefit statement is right there. I mean,
absolutely.
You can't miss anything. There's no room for misunderstanding what that title is.
Exactly. And the book is really for anybody who is just getting into the information marketing. It's for people who are looking for another income stream but don't want to, you know, put together hat magnets the way that I did as my first business and got paid 40 cents an hour. You know, there's so many home-based businesses that pay such a low income. Well,
mm-hmm.
with an information business, there is no limit to what you can make. And I'm not saying it lightly. You know, I don't mean to sound like a commercial, you know, make unlimited money from home. This is the only business I know, other maybe than MLM, and I've never been interested in MLM. I'm sure people
no.
tried it, either love
I
it or
admit,
hate
I shudder.
It.
I'm one of those yes. people when somebody says, would you like to join my downline? I do what we call in the Deep South a body freeze. It's like, no. Oh, my God, no.
Well,
and I don't mean to insult
business.
Anybody who likes it, but I don't like it.
There's a lot of people who are successful with MLM, and
I know.
And that's great for them. But, again,
I'm not one of them.
There is something very unique about information marketing that you cannot get from an MLM or any other kind of business. What you create is yours. It's yours today. It's yours tomorrow. It's yours for life. I know that my information will feed my family even if I'm gone or
mm-hmm.
when I'm gone. I guess there's no question of if, right? There's no
right.
question of when. So it
right.
makes me feel great that what I'm creating has a long lifespan and can generate income for my family, my kids, anytime I need. So.
Mm-hmm.
The book is really going to be for people who are literally trying to get into this, not sure how. Maybe they have heard about this, but they've never met anybody who actually makes money with information or with internet. And what's interesting is that a lot of people are skeptical about making money online, and they are hesitant because so many people talk about the dot-coms and the internet business crashes. But actually, guys, it's right now is the best time because people are now more comfortable than ever buying products online. How many times
exactly.
do you buy online? I buy daily. I either go on Amazon or I buy from, you know, another, you know, like an office supply store. I buy online all the time, and not just
mm-hmm.
because I'm an online business owner, but because it's easy. I know
right.
it's safe. Every credit card has, you know, fraud protection, so you're protected from that. So people are now so comfortably spending money online, you know, much easier than, say, 10 years ago when we first started out. So,
oh, yeah.
Right
Even
now,
5 years ago, people didn't want to do too much of that.
And I've never met anybody in my area, unless I actually go to live events and workshops to meet information marketers. I've never met anybody else. Like, I've never stumbled upon anybody. So this is still a relatively new line of business.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this, people are comfortable spending money online, and at the same time, there's not a lot of people doing it. You know, if you take a percentage of the world population, there's probably less than 1% of people doing it. So now is a perfect time to start creating information. And my book, Dough for What You Know, which you can find more details about it very soon on milana.com, is going to detail how you can do that and how you can get into this painlessly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my mind always seeks clarity. If I'm not clear, I can't take action. So that's one of the things that people love about my writings and my classes, is that I talk in very simple terms. I make sure you understand before we move on into the action mode.
When you say classes, can you explain what you mean for people who are listening and people who will be downloading this show?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, I know you're a coach, so can you kind of tell people what it is that you do? And where, I know they can find you at milana.com, but what services you offer and what it is that you do?
Absolutely. Well, I have, I'm a resource. In fact, I rarely say to people that I'm a coach, because I want people to think of me as a resource. And that's what I recommend that you position yourself as in whatever market, whatever niche, whatever topic you are running your business in. And so the way that I serve as a resource for people who want to get into information business is I teach classes over the phone. They're called teleclasses. I have programs, virtually delivered programs that you can sign up for, and you can start learning how to create your information products right without leaving your home. If you want to travel to one of my live events, I run Multiple Income Streams Blueprint, which is a live event. This year it's coming up in November in Las Vegas. So there are different ways of learning from me and with me, and I can help you grow your information business at whatever level of investment or commitment you currently have.
Excellent. Well, I have one other question. It just slipped my mind. It was so important, too. Darn it. Well, I know what it is. When is your book going to come out? Do you have an anticipated date?
The anticipated date is November, actually. I want to make sure it's ready before my live event this year. So
right.
I am pushing it to have it done. Most likely much sooner than that. I just like to have a deadline as my live event. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, go to milana.com. Sign up for the Multiple Income Stream Secrets, and you'll get on my list that way, which you can always leave if you decide that you've had enough of Milana. But you can, you know, that way you can be updated about when the book is coming and what else is happening in the information marketing world, in terms of classes or programs that I release on a regular basis. And I would love to be your mentor.
Excellent. Well, Milana, thank you so much for being with us here today. You've given some really great information to our listeners, and I appreciate it, and I know they do. So thank you, everybody, for being here. The show will be available for download in about an hour. And this is Denise Griffiths and Milana Leshinsky, and we are wishing you a wonderful weekend. And I'll see you next week. Thank you, Milana.
Thank you, Denise, and thanks for listening, everyone.
Bye-bye.